Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I am back with my good friend, Amy Babinchek. Hey, Amy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Going good. So how was your weekend? Anything exciting?
It was a good weekend for me. It was a so-so weekend for my alma mater. Congratulations to Cornhuskers, by the way.
Well, thank you. Yeah, exciting. I was actually physically there with my bunch of family members. A lot of people came in town to enjoy the good weather, but it, what a game. What a game. It was kind of a shootout at the end, and the Huskers prevailed, but I don't know if either team played really, really well. Lots of new folks.
You know, I'm glad you were there. I'm sure it's always a blast to be at games in person.
Yeah.
I was at a restaurant ready to watch the whole game. I ended up watching half of it. And then at halftime, we went home because I was just disappointed in the performance of the team. You know, our quarterback threw some ridiculous interceptions to you guys. It's like, here, half the ball.
Thank you, by the way.
Yes. And, you know, and so, you know, at that point I was like, oh, you know, honestly, if the score should be worse than it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, both teams had a lot of problems and wasn't the best showing, I don't think, for either of them. But, you win some, you lose some. That's part of the fun of college football, actually.
Yeah. Well, it was a tough game, and there's a lot of talent on both sides. And there were also several, statistically, both teams didn't do very well at all on offense.
Yeah.
And it was a fairly high scoring game, I think 38-27, but there were also multiple touchdowns that got called back because of penalties. So a lot of big plays got called back, you know, a lot of mistakes, but anyway, lot of fun. I love college football. This is my favorite time of the year, coming into the holidays. So it was just good to be there and fun to see the Spartans play the Huskers. So good stuff. Good stuff.
It was good stuff. And I'm glad the weather was cooperating. It's like 85 degrees here and sunny and hot and dry. And it's been that way almost the whole month.
Yeah,
we're in a drought, but I saw that you're sending rain our way tomorrow.
I think it's going to be delivered tomorrow to you because it's hitting us today. So
awesome.
Yeah, game time, I think, was in the low 90s and breezy. And then it was warm on Sunday. And all of a sudden the weather changed last night. But you've got the mid 50s and rain. So get ready for it to cool off.
Fall is on the way. Yeah. The leaves are getting all pretty here, but the weather has definitely not been fall yet. So anyhow, I'm just excited for the rain. My God, I saw a thing that said that like 90% of our state is at 0% water in the soil, surface soil.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, it's been really bad.
Yeah, all right. Well, hey, that's enough of the weather. I know everybody wants the weather report, but we're going to dive into question of the week. It's not that sexy of a question. In all requests, you know, please send in your requests. We love talking about them. But I think even if they're not sexy, but this one's a really important one. So I think it's important that we do talk about it and elaborate. But the question came in. There's a little backstory to it. I'll fill in the gaps. But the question was, how can I improve my monthly cash flow? So this is an MSP. They basically bill everything that they do, time and materials and any managed service that they have, product services. They just send invoices out and wait to collect on them. And, you know, collecting invoices is, that's not our forte, you know, so anyway, what would you say, how would you improve monthly cash flow? What are some things that come to mind, Amy?
Well, you know, one of the first things that comes to mind is to make sure that things aren't eating into your cash flow that shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I remembered hearing my dad say, like, oh, I would never hire a painter that can't afford to buy his own paint. And when I started my business, that like stuck in my head. So I thought I need to go out and buy all of the equipment for the projects that we were doing. And it turns out, no, you don't have to do that. So I flipped that around, which dramatically bettered my cash flow and required everything be purchased, paid for upfront. Right. So there's no reason for you to be the bank on these things. Recurring right. services and equipment, software, that stuff should all be prepaid up front. And that will often solve a lot of cash flow problems. The other thing I would recommend, and I know some people are really hot on credit card points, forget it. Don't put stuff on your credit card because you'll be tempted not to pay it off at the end of the month. And just get that money up front and keep a very tight ship.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities to get credit card points, but I agree. I would look at all your monthly subscription income, all your contractual subscription income, and you want to automate all of that. So on the first of every month, you invoice and automatically collect payment for that month's service. So I would do that first and foremost. One of the first goals I always set with clients of mine is I want to find out what their monthly break-even point is, how much profit do they need to bring in the business to pay all their bills for mm-hmm. that month. And that's normally the MRR goal. And
yeah.
I always say, what a beautiful thing if on the first of the month, you invoice and collect and that money drops right in your account, all of your expenses for that month. So I agree, you should collect all that. And then you'd brought up already on projects and like product orders, collect up front on that as well. You should always at least have a deposit, 50% deposit, maybe if it's a project and if they won't prepay. We used to sell prepaid blocks of time as projects to discount it, and or we'll do milestone billing, but they had to pay something up front. You don't want to be upside down on those projects. And then most customers are used to on product orders, you know, you got to collect the check up front because you got to buy all the equipment, you know, before you can go install it. So
yeah. Yeah.
Implement some of those things for sure.
Yeah, that's some really good advice. So one of the things you really need to look at is to actually see what is your monthly burn.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have that number. It's right. not really readily available in your books. So you're going to have to sit down and do a little math and figure that out. How much do you actually spend? And when you do that, it'll be a scary number because it'll be the first time you've seen it. And you go, oh, man, I got to make $55,000 in order to break even. But you need to know that number. And then if you're not hitting that number at some point, you know, why not? Right. Find out at what point are you getting pinched and why, you know, why are the numbers not working out right? Like sometimes you can, if you do have debt payments, oftentimes you can move those a little bit, you know, when that payment date is due so that you've got the money in from those monthly reoccurrings before that payment comes due or before that big health insurance bill comes due. So, you know, it takes a little bit of sleuthing, but it's a very important thing to take a look at and find out just the why, not the actual number.
Yeah. Yeah. When I ran my companies, I was a numbers junkie, but I wanted to know all the way down to each day. I knew how much we had to invoice in order for us to make a profit that day. And that was always our daily goal, weekly goal, monthly goal, and so on. I wanted to drill down. So that knowing those numbers is a good thing.
Yep.
All right. So some industry news, there's a new channel leader at Microsoft. I think you saw that article earlier, Amy. It looks like a Cisco executive, Alexandra Zaguri, was named vice president of global channel sales. So,
You know, typically Microsoft has hired from within for that position. So, you know, it's often meant that I had some interaction with that person, you know, before they got that role, you'd kind of see them coming up. This person, I don't know, never heard of her because she's coming out of Cisco. So interesting to see what kind of different perspective maybe that brings to Microsoft.
Yeah, she was at Cisco for a while. Looks like she led the managed services and the as-a-service sales strategy for about 5 years. And then she most recently worked as vice president of global partner, global partners. So that was, Cisco's a big organization as well in the channel. So it was hopefully a good hire for them. We'll see how that all translates out. And then... actually, there was one we just chatted about. The Open Text was in the news with their cybersecurity survey that came out. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I read that article and I took a little snippet of it. And, I'm updating the PowerPoints for my class that starts up on the 16th. And I added that in because it was very interesting to me. I should probably add it into my marketing, but I didn't. So I just put it in the class. The piece of this, and it's a great study, and we've got the link for you. But the piece of it that really shocked me was that in 2024, 90% of MSPs said that they felt like they were ready to support AI related security needs. This is a security survey.
Okay.
And in 2025, this year, only 50% of them said that they were ready. That's a massive backslide.
Yeah.
That is huge. So,
that is huge.
You know, it makes me sad that MSPs are not, I guess they were overconfident last year. Like, oh no, this isn't going to be a big deal. Of course we're ready. And now maybe they've dove into it and realized that, oh, we don't actually know how to go about it. So 50-50, if you're an MSP, of whether you're feeling like you're ready to actually be managing AI for your clients. That's how I read that.
Yeah. And the feeling is that's almost kind of the vibe, I guess, in the streets. You know, we've been at a lot of shows and talking to a lot of people, and most everything that you read, there's a lot of hype on AI, and it sounded like the overwhelming majority had a handle on it, but it sure doesn't feel like that when a lot of people I talk to. So I think maybe the 50-50 number is a little bit more reasonable. So, but yeah, that stood out to me as well. This is one of the first articles that kind of pointed out that uncertainty that I've seen. So,
yeah. So, I know we talked about it last time, so I won't belittle the point, but I do have a class coming up starting October 16th that will help you get your confidence and show you how to do AI security for your clients. You know, use the strengths that you've got. This is not a unique problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's AI, but what is AI? AI is software. And how does this stuff behave? How does it get in your network? And, you know, use your manage, monitor, secure skills and wrap your head around how you're going to do that for AI.
Yep. A great opportunity to develop your AI practice. So cool.
Yeah.
And then kind of dovetails into this topic on AI. There was actually a nice article out there that was talking about the SMBs are increasing tech budgets for cloud, cybersecurity, and AI. But then there was a Forrester report that came out and was really, I think, looking at the channel as a whole, but it was really looking at the big dollar spending that some of the big players are over-investing in AI. And they were really pointing out it was going to take years and years to get a positive ROI. I don't think that's the case for the MSPs. You know, we're moving a little slower probably and investing a lot less. You're being a lot more frugal about it. So I think that's a good thing.
I think there's a bubble out there happening.
Yep.
And in the big AI players, right? The folks that are trying to create the AIs, the same ones that are building these massive data centers, just pumping lots of money into it. They're not sure what they're going to get from it. They're hoping that it all works out, but I think they don't know. But the good news in that study is that SMBs are increasing their spending. That means that they're ready for change.
You're right.
And MSPs are in a perfect position to get those extra dollars. But you have to be able to show yourself as a leader in AI, in thought, right? So, yeah. So, most of our clients are in that SMB space for MSPs. And in that SMB space, they're ready to spend money, but they need your leadership in order to be able to make the right decision. And they're going to be looking for that and be like, okay, I know I've got to spend money. I need to talk to some people and make sure that I'm not making a mistake in where I'm going to be spending my funds. And yep. MSPs, you got to be ready to slide into that role.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And then kind of the last article I wanted to highlight, this was one that caught my eye, because last week we talked about marketing in the channel, right? And mm-hmm. as MSPs, there were some surveys that were really pointing out the next generation of a business owner, and they're much younger, and they were much more techy, much more online. They all grew up with the internet.
Yep. They don't want to talk to people. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, we had that conversation. Like, how do you sell to somebody who won't talk to you?
you know, through text and chat and things like that. But this article was kind of the opposite. It was an interesting one. It was really talking about silver startups are on the rise. And some of the statistics that I thought were interesting is it said, 30% of Americans in their 70s are all self-employed. And 27% of some up in the 80s. So the 70s and 80s, there's a lot of new businesses being formed, you know, by smart people, maybe in the channel that maybe sold their business and retired for a while, but then they're coming back on because of all the economic uncertainties, you know, and have got new businesses going. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Once you're an entrepreneur, it's hard to stop.
Yeah, exactly.
we take that message. But, you know, I read a similar article. Slightly different numbers. That did say that 25% of people in their 70s are still working in some capacity, generally part-time.
Yeah.
But that they're continuing to work, and they're doing it not because they're broke necessarily, but because they're healthy.
Yeah.
And that's good news. You know, that they're healthy, they've got energy, they still want to participate and do things. They want to enjoy their time off, and you got to do that when you're healthy too.
True.
Don't wait till you're 90 and say, oh, and now I'm going to
go on my cruise.
Go on a cruise and, yeah.
In my wheelchair.
Go out and hike the Appalachian Trail. It's not going to happen. some things you got to do when you can do them. But, working part-time and still enjoying life seems to be a thing that people in their 70s or 80s are doing because they can.
And I don't want to make light of something you just said. I think it's really important. I want to emphasize something, you know, Amy's point of, you know, don't wait too long before you go out and enjoy life. And I see that. I see this all the time. You know, earlier this year, I was in Europe. I was on a nice Mediterranean cruise with my wife, and there were a lot of elderly people on that cruise ship. And these excursions, you know, I've seen this firsthand. You know, life's too short. You know, enjoy it now. Make those opportunities happen now while you can walk and you're healthy and you can enjoy it a lot more. I saw a lot of people struggling on some of those excursions and so forth. So, don't be one of those. And, you know, make time now. You can. You've got the money to make it available. So I want to emphasize that because I think that's super important.
It is super important, James. And this is actually another thing that you and I have in common, because I know we are both the tail end of our generation in our families. When you're at the tail end, that means everybody's older than you. And in some cases, a lot older than you, you know. I have cousins that are 25 years older than I am.
Yeah.
And, You know, so you get to grow up watching what happens to people as they age and whether they fulfilled the things on their bucket list and stuff they thought they would do, or did they wait too long? And that caused me really to have a different attitude about it. And I always said, I was had in my head, you know, retire a little bit every day, which to me just meant make sure that you're having fun, right? Yeah. Don't work all the time. Just, you know, take some time out to go on that bike ride. Make sure you do take your vacations, you know, make sure that you're having fun and experiencing life along the way, because it is very short and it will slip by before you know it.
Yep. Completely agree with that. Well, awesome. Awesome. So for those of you who are thinking about or need help with your AI practice, make sure you go over to thirdtier.net or just message Amy directly to get more information on her class. I sat in on one of her last classes. I thought it was amazing. I encourage all the clients that I work with to do the same and to join Amy's class to learn more about it, because I know there's a lot of great ideas that we could use as lead magnets and grow our business. So I think it's a great one. And one last thing on my side, I'm excited. One of my favorite events of the year is Newport Beach, the holiday, the Q4 mastermind event. And Newport Beach, California, coming up December 4th and 5th. If anybody wants to get a free pass for that, just message me at james@kernanconsulting.com. And that's coming up right around the corner.
Yeah. Take the opportunity, take your family. Something about Newport Beach is just always a fun place to be. There's a lot to do in that area. So if you haven't been attending James events and you've been waiting to do one, and this one's in December, right after the Thanksgiving holiday. So it's a great time to, you know, take a few days, go out there, bring the family, enjoy the weather and enjoy Newport Beach.
We're going to do that Harbor Cruise, the holiday Harbor Cruise in Newport Harbor.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
You know, anything to do with yachts and big boats, Amy's interested in that. So maybe we'll twist her arm and you guys will see her there.
You know, last time I was there, it was a family event. It was not over Christmas, but I rented us one of those little, you'll see them around, the little electric boats that you can take canals and stuff. Yeah, I rented one of those and we took the family out and had a really good time for a few hours on that. So yeah, lots of fun stuff to do.
How fun. Yeah, there was a big harbor cruise. That time of the year, a lot of the big ships and sailboats have holiday lights. So it's just gorgeous. There's a holiday lights everywhere. And then you're cruising around all these multi-million-dollar properties on the water as well. And they're all decked out with holiday lights. So
yep, they're all decked out. You know, they hired people to come and decorate their house so that you could enjoy it. So make sure you get
exactly big bucks there. So awesome. All right. Well, hey, great catching up with you, Amy. If anybody has any questions of the week or any information that you want Amy and I to talk about, reach out to james@kernanconsulting.com, and we'll see everybody back next week. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.